Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God that I direct to your attention this morning is the Old Testament lesson from Lamentations 3. Read once again verses 22 and 23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So far the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, dear friends, when my children were little, I had the opportunity to read many stories to them. I read as many children's stories as I did theological books. And I remember particularly my daughter Sarah coming and running to me saying, "Daddy, Daddy, read me a book." And one of the favorite formats of the book of very young children is the alphabet format. And you know how it goes. A is for ant. B is for bear, C is for cat, D is for dog, and the only thing really exciting about that book is waiting to see what the author would come up for the letter X. What would be the word for X? And so you know how alphabet books work. Well, in a very real sense, in a real way, this book of Lamentations is an alphabet book, if you will. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And this book of Lamentations is relatively short, 5 chapters. And the first 2 chapters, each verse begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet in sequence. Chapters 4 and 5 begin each with a different Hebrew letter in sequence. And so it was easy to remember the pattern. And then the middle chapter, Lamentations 3, has 66 verses. And so it's constructed so that there's 3 verses that have the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the next 3 verses have the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and all the way to the end, all 66 verses, structured that way. In a sense, it was like a Hebrew acrostic. Well, Lamentations is written by Jeremiah. He is the human author of this divine-inspired Word of God. He is the one. He wrote the book of Jeremiah, and then he also wrote Lamentations. And you can hear the word, English word, lament. And really, that's what Lamentations is. It's a lament. If you will, it's almost a funeral dirge that we have here in the Scriptures. Jeremiah, his nickname was the Weeping Prophet. He was called the Weeping Prophet. He had the unenviable task of prophesying the fall of Judah. He had warned against impending doom if the people did not repent. And God had called him for this rather unpleasant task. But it was a task that had to be done because God's people were turning from him. They were impenitent. They didn't seem to care. And they were falling deeper and deeper into idolatry and going after other gods. And so when God called Jeremiah, in the first chapter of Jeremiah, God told Jeremiah this: "Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land. I will pronounce my judgment on my people because of their wickedness for forsaking me." That was Jeremiah's commission. And he preached the word. But there apparently was no response, no repentance. They didn't listen to Jeremiah. They continued in their idolatrous ways. They committed spiritual adultery, which eventually ended in spiritual suicide, if you will, because God did send judgment to an impenitent people. God said, there's a boiling pot tilted from the north, namely the great empire of Babylon. The pot tipped and scalded Judah with a vengeance. Jerusalem was destroyed in 586 BC, and Judah was carried away into captivity, away from their homeland. And Jeremiah was a witness to all that destruction. And what did he see? We're told these are some verses right from Lamentations. Babylon marching against Jerusalem and laying siege to the city. Starvation. Children and infants, their lives ebb away in their mother's arms. Men, mighty warriors, women, priests, children, infants slaughtered. And the worst thing of all, with their own hands, compassionate women have cooked their own children, who became their food. Can you imagine a city under siege where compassionate mothers cooked their own children for food? It's hard to imagine something so horrible. And through it all, Jeremiah recognized the connection between their unrepentance and God's righteous judgment. Jeremiah had said, "The Lord has brought her grief because of her many sins. Jerusalem has sinned greatly and so has become unclean. The Lord is righteous, yet I rebelled against his command. Woe to us, for we have sinned." And Jeremiah's lament was not simply unloading to get it off his chest. He wasn't simply realizing others are in the same boat. It was not a lament of despair, but ultimately he had hope in the Lord. He called his nation, his people, to repentance. "Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. Restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we may return." And that's the Old Testament word for repent, to turn. We're going this way against the Lord and his will and his word, and God turns us back to himself to hear his word and to follow him and to receive forgiveness. Return to God, whose mercies are new every morning. In the middle of the middle chapter of this section is the love and mercy of God. Our text: because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. His compassions never fail. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Right smack dab in the middle of Lamentations, this lament, this dirge, we see God's boundless mercy and his love. But more importantly, right smack dab in the middle of our lives, we also find great love and mercy. Jeremiah says God's mercies are new each morning. He is faithful. His faithfulness endures. Isn't it amazing that when you think of this wonderful word of God, not only are the words inspired by the Holy Spirit, not only does God reveal himself and his word and his will to us, but the very structure of the book of Lamentations is significant. The structure itself, because in the midst of sin, in the midst of our rebellion, in the midst of despair, of tragedy, yes, in the midst of death, God's mercy still is new each day. His boundless love is there in every situation of life. If just think of that family that lost the husband and father and those three little children, even in the midst of that great tragedy, Lamentations assures us that God is there with his mercy, his overflowing and his abundant love. He does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men, so says the writer of Lamentations. And so his word of law, the word that Jeremiah was called to proclaim, is not God's favorite thing. He doesn't love to have his law preached, the law which kills us, the law which exposes us, the law which shows us our sin. In fact, our Lutheran confessions call it the alien work of God that he accomplishes through his law. But we need to hear the law so that we are brought to repentance, so that God in his loving kindness can turn us from our own way, from our sin, from our rebellion, to his great faithfulness, to his grace and mercy. Yes, there is judgment for unrepentant sin, but that's not God's desire. He loves to show mercy and grace, steadfast love to us in Christ. He is our gracious God. It's interesting to note that Lamentations historically is read during the last 3 days of Holy Week, and even the Good Friday laments, the woes of Good Friday, include parts of Lamentations. These words of Jeremiah are then applied to Jesus' passion, to Jesus' suffering and his death. And even as Jeremiah wept and lamented over the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, the one greater than Jeremiah, our Lord Jesus, standing on a hill overlooking Jerusalem a week before he was going to be crucified, he wept for the city. Why? Because they were unrepentant. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you together, even as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not." They refused to repent. Sometimes I wonder, and I ask the question, really, what causes God the greatest grief? What causes God to sorrow? And certainly, It could be at the continuing death of millions of unborn babies in our country. That certainly causes God to sorrow. I'm sure he grieves over the fact that marriage is being destroyed. It's no longer his institution where one man marries one woman for a lifetime commitment, but we're redefining it the way we want to. I think that causes God to grieve and to be sorrowful. But I think God's greatest grief, his greatest sorrow, is when you and I refuse to repent, when we refuse to see our own sin, when we refuse to acknowledge that we are those poor, miserable sinners that we confess to be. Every time we do the confession, impenitence causes God his greatest grief. And that's why when Martin Luther posted his 95 theses, the very first of the 95 is God calls the life of a Christian to be one of ongoing daily repentance. When God calls us, it's to daily repentance. And certainly that's also the emphasis in baptism, isn't it? By daily repentance, our sins are drowned and they die with Christ, so that new man might come forth and live. That's what causes God great grief, is our impenitence. And so God calls us also to repent. Even like Jeremiah called the people of his day to repentance, God calls us to acknowledge our sin, to be honest, confess unto him, knowing that he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus, the one greater than Jeremiah, wept over Jerusalem. He weeps whenever we refuse to repent. Jesus himself, in the prophecy of Isaiah, he's described as a man of sorrows, and he's acquainted with grief. Jeremiah describes some of that in the words right before and after our text here from Lamentations 3. He writes, "Let him alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him offer his cheek to one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace." Isn't that descriptive of Jesus? As the soldiers struck him on the face, and he refused to respond in kind. He took it for us. The writer of Lamentations says, "I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. When Jesus cried out from the cross, 'I thirst,' they didn't give him water to drink. They gave him bitter vinegar, the gall." And it was already spoken of here in Lamentations. And Jesus did that all for you and for me. God the Father carried out his alien work against his own Son. He punished Jesus so that you and I would not receive the punishment we deserve, but rather Jesus took it for us. And now he turns his gracious face to us. His mercies are new each day. He does what he loves to do, and that is to forgive us and to cleanse us from all our sin. In Lamentations, you could say that you and I see our sin from A to Z, and we could do a whole alphabet and come up with sins. A is for anger. When were you last unjustly angry? B is for boasting. When did you falsely boast? C is for complaining. How many of us don't complain rather than look at our blessings? D is for death. You know, E is for envy. We could go right down the line. But we know that for all those sins, we have a Savior who stood in our place, who suffered and died, who rose again, thus assuring us of forgiveness and life. Where sin abounded, grace did all the more abound. And so here are the wonderful words right in the middle of Lamentations that come into the middle of our lives when we go through tragedies and testing and sorrow and grief. "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." May God grant it in each of our lives for Jesus' sake. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in true faith unto life everlasting. Amen.